We got it, what, 15, 20 second delay now. Dun, 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 dun.
Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've got a great show tonight. It's Transgender Tuesday. I'm a little slow to the party, folks. I need to tell you that, because I've just been saying whenever Trucker Patty is on, and I love calling her Trucker Patty, but Patty Spangler, whenever Patty's on the show, it's just the transgender topics. And I realized it's a Tuesday. You know, you see where I'm going with this. And, you know, if you could have something that would be a little bit more catchy than, you know, transgender topics, why not Transgender Tuesday? So now I think we need to have Patty on Tuesdays from now on, whenever we have her on a monthly basis, and we're going to call it Transgender Tuesday Night. How does that sound? Why does it take me so long to figure these things out? But, you know, the light bulb goes on about a half an hour before the show, and so I'm updating the show page, and it's posting on Facebook, and then Patty reposted it, and it showed up as Transgender Tuesday, and I'm like, right on, that looks really cool. So we're going to talk to Patty for the entire hour in just a couple of minutes, but I want to give a couple of shout-outs here to Scott Fullerton, who was on our show last night as my guest. He hosts a weekly podcast called Left of Straight, and he had me on as a guest on his two-hour show today, and I was on for probably like the last half hour, and I had a half a cup of iced tea right before showtime, so I was a chatterbox and had just a fantastic time. So if you get a chance to go to the internet and look for this podcast, Left of Straight, and straight as STR8, you know, STR8. You can go listen to the show today, previous broadcast. He's also got a Facebook fan page called Left of Straight. Encourage you to do that. Trucker Patty's going to be on tonight, of course. Tomorrow we have psychic Lisa Peeney. She's going to be doing a special show starting at 4 p.m. Pacific. Thursday, we have the Sydney surfer, Mr. Mark DePena, and he is going to be reciting poetry and telling us what's going on in his world down in Sydney, Australia. He's in Sydney, Australia, and we're doing the show live. And then on Friday night, with the Friday Night Dance Party, we have young music superstar Travis Miller, and he's this young kid out of Central California. We're going to play his music and talk to him about what's going on in the world of music and in his world, because his world of music is a little different than mine, but it's fun nonetheless. Trucker Patty, welcome back to Rated G Radio. How are you?
I am wonderful, darling. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I need to apologize. You know, why did it take me so long to figure out a catchy name for the show with us tonight?
Oh, well, the idea is, though, you did think of it. So we'll run with it. I think it sounds good.
In 10 years, you know, it won't be a big deal. But, you know, for like the next 6 months, like, we have to make sure it's Transgender Tuesday. I was trying to save that like five times fast last night, failing miserably every single time. And I said, I can't even chew gum and walk it, you know, and bubble gum and all of that at the same time. Good Lord. But you're back. So how has your month been? The last time we talked, you were growing vegetables out in your garden and having some delightful, fresh, organic fare for your lunch and dinner table. What's been going on in your world?
Not really a whole lot. It's been miserably hot, so I've been staying in a lot, and I've been catching up on TV. There has been a plethora of new transgender-themed shows, so I've been catching up on them.
Well, we're going to get, because that's really our main meat and potatoes tonight, is going to be talking about TV and transgender shows that are coming up. So before we get to any of that, I just wanted to spend like a minute or two catching up with you. So I read the other day, or read even today, that you had to go out and mow the lawn, and that was like, you know, crazy. So what is that like, mowing a big yard like that in the middle of the country?
Well, my yard is not that huge. I would say it's less than a quarter acre. But I have an electric lawnmower. I decided to get the electric because when you buy a new lawnmower, they start really great for a few years. And the older they get, the harder they are to start. The older I get, the harder it is for me to start one.
Yep.
So it takes a little longer with the electric mower. And then with it being so hot and the few health problems that I have, I sort of have to do it in shifts. So it takes me a while, but I always like the way it looks when it's done. It's pretty.
So for your electric mower, is it cordless, or do you have like a 500-foot, extension cord that you carry around with you?
Yeah, I have a 200-foot extension cord.
Okay, cool. because I had an electric mower when I had my house back in Phoenix, and I originally got the kind that had to have the electric, the cord plugged into it. And I thought that was great. But when I'd moved to the other house I was in before I moved out here to California, I actually gave that lawnmower to my dad. And so, I was spending money faster than, they could print it at the time. And I went and got the mower that, is battery charged. And for the little bit of grass that I have, that was really actually kind of okay. But I'll tell you, it did kind of suck through the battery really, really quickly. And even a very small patch of grass was, two chargers. So even, and here for you, you'd probably do it in like 5 minutes, but it would take, an hour for me to do it in two shifts because the battery would die. But yeah. Interesting.
But
I'm glad you have it.
The cord's not bad once you learn how to work it and work with it. It's not too bad. It was a little bit fun when I first got it. There was a lot of tripping up, but it's okay now.
It's probably like working on the rodeo or something a little bit, tossing the rope around a little bit so you're not, stumbling over it and tripping and things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right on. Well, with this crazy weather that's been out there, it's so hot across the country. You said you've been catching up on TV. How do you watch TV now? Because I only watch TV off of off of my computer because I don't have cable or, any of that type of stuff now.
I have DirecTV, and I've had it for several years. I had Dish was the first satellite one that I tried, and I had it for a couple of years, and it didn't have some of the shows that was. And I think the biggest reason I got rid of it and got Direct was because it didn't have logo on it.
And everybody's got to watch The Roo.
Yeah, I wanted to watch some shows on logo. But I think eventually I will probably go the streaming route myself. I think that's kind of where the future of television is going. It's just that I'm generally 5 years behind technology. I finally got a tablet this last year, and I've only had a smartphone for a year. I didn't get one until I retired from truck driving because it was just too much of a temptation to have that much information at hand while I was driving an 80,000-pound rig down the highway. So
yeah, it's kind of important. Well, I need to tell you, it's not a secret. It's that you mentioned that you are retired now, but the fact that you're retired and talking about, I think I'm going to go to that streaming route. I think that puts you, in the cool kids league, absolutely and for sure.
Well, thank you. you try to keep up as best you can. I was a little hesitant at first. I got started with Facebook. I'm actually learning how to tweet better now. My next new frontier is going to be Instagram.
I'm going to make a pact with you. Once you figure out Instagram, you can tutor me, and I will be forever in your debt. I don't
well,
get
you
it.
Should
I mean,
be
I,
all, with that
I know.
Face there, you should be all over Instagram. Shame on you.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Well, I'm working on it, but it's one of those things. You get into a groove and or a routine, and once you're in that routine, it's very hard to break. And I'm in the Facebook groove. Scott with Left of Straight, bless his heart. He's this Twitter maniac, and he's got thousands of people that he's friends with or follows him on Twitter, and so he's the Twitter master. So we were even talking about that last night about how he manages his Twitter following, and that to me was impressive. And so I really need to find an Instagram guru to really explain it to me so I will appreciate the benefits of it. I have an Instagram account. I put pictures on there once every month or two, but it's not like that's my go-to. My go-to is Facebook because I'm usually sitting down at my computer, and I don't know. That's where I feel the connection. I would like to be more Twitter-ish, but I'm not yet. So I'm proud of you for doing the Instagram.
It seems like every time that I get used to something, then there's something else comes along and everybody else is doing it and I don't know how to do it because there's like a couple of people that I only communicate with on Twitter, which is why I had to learn how to do better, because they got tired of doing Facebook. Facebook is my preferred and probably always will be. It's just the easiest thing for me to use. And I can be as long-winded as I want to be.
Right.
As, you know, anybody who follows me on Facebook knows that I can sometimes, you know, be a little long-winded.
I call you passionate.
Thank you. That's very sweet, Garrett.
Okay. So before we get started with the TV, I need to give a big shout out to Tony G in Hackensack tonight, who is listening in. He's also shared the link to the show to a friend of his who's going through the transition process to become transgendered. So, Tony, thank you very much for that. I know that you and Trucker Patty, I think, follow each other on Twitter or Facebook or something like that as well. So I appreciate you, you know, spreading the news and spreading the word. So let's get back to TV here. We've got a bunch of new programs that have come out or are out or are coming out. And I don't even know where you want to start, because I think they're all interesting in their own way. But probably the most high-profile show is I Am Kate with Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, I actually made some notes so that I didn't get confused. And the thing that I find interesting is I'm learning so much that I didn't know about the transgender community, because my experience, you know, is unique in its own right from others, in that, you know, I went through my transition starting in the late 70s, had my surgery in 82, and then disappeared for 25 plus years before I came back out. And you know, the thing that's great about these three shows that I'm watching is how different they are from each other. Now, I was pleasantly surprised with I Am Kate. You know, I wrote a blog in Huffington Post about Caitlyn Jenner and what I was hoping. You know, what my thoughts were on her and her transition and my hopes for how things were going to go. And my biggest thing was I was concerned that I did not want any person on the face of the planet to think that there was anything even remotely typical about her transition experience, because it's absolutely not. What she's been able to do and the way she has gone down her path is, you know, totally different from what most people's experience are. And I, you know, that was the biggest thing that I wanted people to understand. The other thing was that, you know, she had mentioned that she really wanted to put the focus and the spotlight on transgender youth. And I had said in the blog that if she was going to do that, I would be behind her 100%, because that's the same path that my passion lies along, is in understanding and awareness. And I think by and large, she did a pretty good job with that on the show. You know, anything connected with the Kardashians is going to have fashion and bling and that whole production style value. You can't expect any less out of that. And, well, you know, you also have to expect that anyone connected with that group, they are going to look fabulous. And all that was true. But, you know, the fact that she does seem to be so passionate about educating people and having them understand how at risk trans youth are, how high the suicide rate is, how much they need understanding. You know, the lady has my 100% support. I was really impressed with the show. You know, there was a few little stereotypical things in there that you sort of kind of have to expect, but by and large, I think it's a good watch. I think people should watch it until there's a reason not to.
So, you know, one thing that I want to talk to you about, because, you know, everybody's experience is different. And it's funny that you say, you know, one thing that's really, people have to really realize is that Caitlyn's experience is not typical for a transgendered person. I don't think there's a typical experience for anybody that's out there, to be honest, because everybody goes through so many different things. The only, you know, familiarity is here, you're going from man to a woman or woman to a man. But I think that's where the similarity ends.
Well, the biggest thing is the one thing that I would say 90% of transgender people share in common is lack of resources and lack of support.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that makes all the difference in the world. And that's something that Kate has in abundance. And
in spades, yeah.
Yes, and therein lies what makes her journey so atypical, because, you know, she has the same emotional issues. And, you know, then there's the fact that she spent 65 years living in an authentic life that I think is really sad. But the advantages that she's had that, like I said, 90% of trans people don't have. I want people to understand that, you know, this is what happens when you just happen to have a lot of open-minded, supportive people in your life and, you know, more money than anybody truly needs.
So, well, let me ask, because you talked about having, you know, the open-minded people in your life in that scenario here. Do you think that Caitlin has more, and this is a pointed question, so know that I'm trying to get a particular answer out of you here, Patty, but do you think Caitlin has more open-minded people in her life because there are more cameras on her and nobody wants to come across looking like a jerk, being like, oh, this is terrible, I don't like this, or I don't like you, how could you do this, or anything like that? You know, do you think that she has more support now because people want to make sure they look like they're getting on board, or do you really think that these people, you know, genuinely are supportive of her?
With that group, I would say for the most part, I think they are genuinely supportive, because out of the whole group there, the only one that is really very conservative is Caitlin herself. All the rest of them are pretty liberal, open-minded people, you know, at least that those are the public images that they portray. You know, there's always going to be differences when you have a parent that goes down that route. You know, it's interesting that one of the things that I always think of, and we'll get back to jazz here in a bit, but, you know, if all trans people had jazz's experience, there would not be any situations like what Caitlin has had to go through with her children, because those children would never have been born.
Well, and that, you know, and so, you know, you have somebody who is doing this at such a late stage in life, you know. Do you think that this has, you know, with the number of children that Caitlin has had over the years, how do you think the kids are going to, I mean, we know that, you know, they said, okay, this is all great, but do you think that the kids are going to have any lasting, you know, either issues or things that are going to be coming up now that the transition's been made?
I think that they have all probably talked about it enough. I don't think in a situation like that, and especially with that family, that everything is always going to be smooth sailing. But, you know, a lot of it we're never going to hear about, because they are all about making money. And
right.
If something is going to go counterproductive to, you know, whatever their entertainment empire value is, you're probably not going to hear a whole lot about it. I really think, by and large, that, you know, that it won't be too bad. I think that her kids are pretty much on board. And like I say, most of them are pretty liberal, open-minded people. You know, she's the one who's the Republican.
Right, exactly. So, okay. Now, I haven't seen the show yet because I don't have, you know, the cable and that type of stuff. So I did see some clips on the internet. So I'm trying to be hip and cool like you, Patty, so I can, you know, ask questions and talk to you about the, you know, the episode that aired on Sunday on E! the thing that I thought was really kind of interesting was, you know, how Kanye West came in, and he was just like cool as a cucumber during this whole thing. And I was really, and I've never actually seen him like not try to be a performer before. So I'm used to seeing him like on stage with this "I'm Kanye West" type of a thing. And to see him just be like this normal dude, you know, walking into a family, you know, I don't say family reunion, but a family gathering with Caitlin, and, you know, he's taking off his, you know, shoes, and you're talking about the shoelaces, and you don't really need to, you know, have the shoelaces. They're more for decoration. I found him quite charming. I was shocked to even have those thoughts go through my head, to like, this could be a nice guy. This is not the guy running up on stage telling Taylor Swift she doesn't deserve the award.
But Garrett, you know, so many people like that. What you see on stage is a character.
Right.
You know, they can be completely different, you know, in their normal lives. You know, they have figured out a way to make themselves interesting to people, and a lot of what they do is very much a character. And you think of some of the great comedians, like, for example, Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson in his personal life was nothing like the Johnny Carson we saw on television. And that's true with a lot of performers. So it doesn't surprise me in the least. And I would imagine, you know, in that situation, it would have been extremely gauche of him to try and put the spotlight on himself in the middle of Kate's show.
True enough. And, you know, and the other thing that everybody was talking about is the fact that it was still the same producers that produced the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And, you know, people were very concerned that it was going to be all showboaty. And, you know, it was nice to see at least the parts of the show that I was able to see online that it looked like it was done very tastefully. And I really liked that. And I guess, you know, shame on us if we're going to think that, you know, a producer can only produce one type of show. But I thought that was really classy how they put that first episode together.
Well, you have some very, very smart, successful people there. And I think that, you know, anybody with a little bit of sense was going to realize that the in-your-face, over-the-top drama of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and various assorted sundry spinoffs is not something that would work in a situation like this. You know, you're not dealing with a bunch of, you know, sex-crazed, you know, gorgeous, self-aggrandizing kids. You know, you're dealing with a 65-year-old woman here. And, you know, there's going to be some of the Kardashian machine dashed to it, but you're not going to have the over the top. That wouldn't sell. The show wouldn't last, and they'd be very foolish to try to do that. And I don't think these people are foolish. I think they know exactly what they're doing.
I think they're extremely well crafted and well spoken. So I think that's, again, it's not surprising that it's done well. So I'm applauding everybody who's doing the first class job on this. Do you have any insights or secrets on what's going to be coming up on future episodes?
No, they showed a little blurb at the end of the show of upcoming episodes where Kate's going to be interacting with a bunch of other transgender people. There was a little blurb of her and Candace Kane and some other people who I recognized faces, but it was so quick that I didn't have enough time to put the names to the faces, but they're well known in the trans community. And one of the things that Caitlin had tweeted was that she really wanted to have some trans friends. So I sent her a tweet and told her that, you know, she ought to check me out. You know, if she wanted somebody who was a little bit different for a friend, I would be happy to be her friend. I haven't.
You'd make a great friend.
Back, and I'm not going to hold my breath, but I did reach out to her.
Well, I think you'd make a great friend. So if Caitlin reaches out, I think she's going to be lucky to, you know, jet you off to, you know, Turks and Caicos for a girls' weekend or something like that. So.
Oh yeah, that would be lovely. I would be a lot happier to just be able to have some real conversations about how we can help these kids. But Hey, anybody wants to be in a private jet and fly me someplace, who am I to say no to that? I'm not stupid.
That's just so nice of you, Patty. So what do you think about the rumors going around that Caitlin's going to be posing for Playboy?
I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
First of all, I don't think she needs the money, and I think that would be the only reason that would be done, because that would do nothing but bring her negative attention. And I think she wants to be seen as a class act all the way.
Good. Yeah, I hope that's the case, because I think the curiosity factor would be huge, but I think that, you know, that's just totally not the image that Caitlin's going for, you know, because everything that she's doing right now is just like high fashion, super fancy, looking like $1 million, and just being a complete diva in the best ways possible. So I would hope that's not the case, but that's been brewing around in the last few days on the internet, and I thought, well, you know, stranger things have happened, but I can't picture that happening, at least at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that kind of stuff would be out there. You know, who knows what other sort of crazy things that you might hear. But you have to remember, no matter the shape that she is in, you know, she's still 65 years old. You know,
right.
And there's only so much airbrushing that can be done.
Well, you know, if the check was the right number, you know, I always say I'm open to have any discussion with people at any point. You know, if the check's the right number of zeros at the end of it, I suppose anything's possible. But, you know, I don't know. I make jokes about me, but, you know, certainly not about Caitlin. So we have a couple of other shows here, Patty, that are coming up that you've been checking out. One's called Becoming Us, and then the other is Jazz. So what are these shows all about?
Well, Jazz is my favorite of the bunch. Jazz is about a 14-year-old transgender girl. And she started transitioning when she was 5. Her parents noticed very early on, from the time that she was 2, that, you know, she was always adamantly gravitating towards girly things. And the older that she got, the more insistent. But they went about it in the correct way. They let her be herself. The most controversial thing that they did was they started her on blockers so that she did not go into puberty. And when she was 11 years old, which is something that you know, people get all upset about, you know, how could you do that to your child? And it's something that's totally irreversible. You know, if a few years down the road, all of a sudden, and this would never, ever happen, you know, she decided she wanted to be male again, it's something that's totally irreversible. You stop taking them, you go through puberty, and away you go. But I knew by the age of 3 that I was supposed to be a girl. And most transgender people that I have met and that I have talked to over the years also knew at a very early age. If they did not know exactly what it was they were thinking or feeling at that time, by the time they were old enough to understand, they realized that they had felt that way from a very, very young age. And it's like watching this show, it's like it makes me want to cry, because for me, it's like every transgendered person's dream family, dream parents. You know, the way they treat this young lady, it's just, oh, it's so amazing. You know, I always felt like I was fortunate because I had a supportive mother. I didn't have to deal with a lot of the male characteristics as far as my appearance went, because I'm also intersex. I have the extra chromosome. And I always felt so lucky about that, because, you know, I didn't have to have any facial feminizing surgery. I never had an Adam's apple, and I didn't have hair in weird places and all that kind of stuff. So it made my transition so much easier, and I was able to start transitioning when I was 23. You know, so I always felt like I was really, really lucky because, you know, so many people I'd encountered over the years didn't even start until they were in their 40s or 50s. And, you know, here we have a kid that she's, you know, it's basically as normal a childhood for a trans kid as it can possibly be, with the most wonderful and supportive parents. I think everybody should watch this show. This is one of the best educating tools as far as trans kids go that I have ever seen. And as far as it being a reality show, I think they're being 100% real. I think it's a situation of you probably have a producer off to the side that is, you know, coming up with ideas like, well, you know, what do you think about this situation? And then they turn the family loose and the family talks about it and how they feel and things that have happened and stuff like that. But I don't think that it's scripted in any ways, other than maybe with, you know, people off camera bringing up, you know, well, how did you handle this situation and how did you handle that situation type deal.
And Patty, with that, I'm going to ask us to handle this situation. We actually have a sponsor for the show, Rainbow Brew out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. I want to give them a big shout out. And we're going to go to commercial and then come right back and talk more about jazz and then also becoming us. So everybody, stay right there. We'll be right back.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So that's Rainbow Brew. Thank you, Rainbow Brew. We love you for being a sponsor to Rated G Radio. It helps make the, you know, pays the light bill and lets me have some internet and, you know, has fantastic guests like Patty Spangler on the show tonight. Patty, before we go back to talking about jazz here, I call you Trucker Patty because I love calling you that, because I fell in love with you and your voice and your stories on Sirius XM OutQ when you call into all the shows. Now that you're retired, do we need to have a different nickname for you? And so we don't call you Trucker Patty anymore. We call you, like, I don't know, something else Patty. But if Trucker Patty sticks, I'm going to call you that for the rest of my life, and just because I'm so ingrained with that. But is there something else we can call you with as a nickname?
No, I love Trucker Patty. Trucker was something. Becoming Trucker Patty changed my life. Becoming Trucker Patty is what brought me back out of the closet. Being Trucker Patty was what got a documentary short made about me and gave me a little bit more of a voice. So Trucker Patty is very dear to my heart, so you can call me that forever.
Okay, cool. Good, because I haven't asked you that off air, so I probably should have saved that question before we started the show tonight. So thank you, Trucker Patty, for letting me call you Trucker Patty. Also, Tony is chiming in on Facebook, and I've got a bunch of people saying hello and that type of thing, but he goes, I like Patty. She's very open on a topic that I'm not familiar with. So isn't it funny that, you know, here we are, this LGBT community, and even our straight allies that are out there that want to be, you know, wonderful, accepting, loving, and all of this, and yet we have no real understanding of this because we either, A, don't know a transgendered person, or B, are too afraid to ask questions. And one of the things that I'm so impressed and am honored to call you my friend is that you are just such an open book with anything that anybody ever wants to ask. You say, you know, just ask me. And I applaud you for that every single time.
I want to give a little disclaimer about that.
Okay.
Now, that is the way that I choose to be, but I don't want anybody thinking that they can walk up to any transgendered person and ask personal questions, because, you know, I choose to be that way for a reason, that not all transgendered people are that way. And, you know, I say that you treat them with the kind of respect you would treat anybody. I mean, you wouldn't walk up to a person on the street and say, hey, do you have a penis or a vagina? You know, we went into that last month where we talked
about
questions that you just don't ask. I choose to be open with people, but you know, if you meet a transgender person, just be respectful and let them set the tone for what they feel comfortable with.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because, you know, I tend to just run off at the mouth and I just never, ever stop. And I'll tell anybody, you know, I don't talk about my personal life on the show ever, but if somebody asks me a question, I will gladly answer it. But I tend not to have people ask me questions, so I just don't talk about any of that type of stuff. I'm not embarrassed by it. I just, you know, figure that this is not the show for me to talk about, oh, well, I thought so-and-so was cute, or boy, you know, this, gosh darn it, somebody looked at me cross-eyed. So, you know, but I totally get what you're saying. So I appreciate your honesty and the ability that you bring to the community for being an open book. But just like you said, you know, you don't go around saying, well, gee, you know, when are you due? I'm not pregnant. Oh, gee, you know, questions like that, you know, you just don't ever ask questions that are just socially unacceptable. You just don't do those types of things. So you bring up a great point. There's a great article, 10 Things You Never Ask a Transgender Person. Patty and I talked about this. Really, Patty showcased it last month on her episode. You can go back in the archives, or you just go Google that particular type of article on any of the, you know, search platforms, and you'll take a look. But, you know, be respectful of people. Anyhow, we're talking about transgender TV shows that are out here. We've talked about I Am Kate. We're in the middle of talking about Jazz. And what other things are you finding enjoyable about the program?
Well, basically, it's that they're extremely open about her journey. They've been totally candid about any of the medical things that they're doing for her. She has been totally candid about how she feels, what she's afraid of. She's a very, very well-spoken and confident young lady, but she is also not afraid to be vulnerable. She is such a wonderful role model for the community. This whole family is, you know, she has older twin brothers and an older sister, you know, and, you know, they're just a really, really wonderful family that they don't come off as contrived. They come off as, you know, 100% honest, 100% believable. And like I said, you know, for me, if I could have grown up in that sort of an environment, I just wonder, you know, how much better my life could have been. You know, I spent years hiding and living always with the fear in the back of my head that somebody was going to find out my secret. And that damaged me in ways that we couldn't begin to cover in an hour. And so the fact that they are willing to come out and share their story, I can't say enough good things about this show, and I really hope people will watch it, because she is a very, very special young lady.
Well, I can't wait for your review next month and to, you know, get me caught up. So unless I can find it somewhere where I can watch it for free online or something like that, you're going to be my you know, eyes to the world here. So I appreciate that, Patty.
Yeah, you might be able to get some of the episodes because it's on TLC.
Okay, so do like the TLC. I'll go to TLC and see if you can watch any past episodes. That would be fun. Now, there's one other show that I'm kind of familiar with but don't know a lot about, and that's called Becoming Us.
And that is the show that I am learning things from that I never knew, because their experiences are so completely foreign and far away from any of my experiences. It's been really interesting for me watching this show, because you have a 48-year-old transgender woman who, when her son was 13 years old, decided that, you know, she couldn't live as a man anymore. And she and her wife wound up getting a divorce. They are now not the best of friends. They try to get along for their son, but it's been very difficult for the son. And it's interesting because sometimes the transgender woman, her name is Carly, sometimes she comes off as being a bit selfish, and not, maybe not as sensitive to her son's needs as one might hope, and then she'll turn around and do something completely different that proves just how much she loves her child, but that this is something she really needs to do for herself. But You know, I have a very, very strong belief that if you choose to bring a child into this world, that you are responsible for the safety, the education, the health, and the welfare of that child until they reach adulthood. And, you know, you sometimes have to put your own agenda aside for you know, whatever is best for your children, because they don't ask to be brought in the world. You made a conscious choice to bring them in. And many, many transgender people wait until later in life for that specific reason. And it can still be a really rocky road, as I'm learning from this. The other trans woman in this is somebody who is taking her journey slower, and part of that she is doing it consciously because waiting for her daughter to finish school, and is not letting herself be out and about in the community as much because her daughter goes to a very conservative private school. And so, and the interesting thing was, up until the last episode, their kids were boyfriend and girlfriend. And then that was the thing that they had in common, as boyfriend and girlfriend, was each of their fathers were transitioning. And then you have a young trans man who has gotten himself into a relationship with another trans man who is gay. And I've said this before, and let me say it again so everybody understands this. Gender identity has absolutely nothing to do with sexual preference. You have transgendered gays and lesbians, just like there is in the biological community. So just because someone is transgender does not mean they are automatically attracted to the opposite sex. So for example, Caitlyn Jenner, I believe, is a lesbian. And I haven't quite figured out on becoming us whether Carly is or not. Sally / Dan, I believe, is exploring her heterosexual side at this point. I've only seen 3 episodes of the show, so I missed the first season, so there are some things that I'm being caught up on. But this is another show that is definitely a reality show. I think they set up certain situations to address certain topics, but I believe that these people are definitely being really, really being themselves. And that makes the show interesting. I'm so tired of these contrived reality shows that you see, and then you find out there's nothing real about them at all.
So if we come out with, the real transgendered of Orange County or the real transgender of Beverly Hills, you're going to cry wolf, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'm just checking, because, that was something I was thinking. We could come up with a really cool show, The Real Transgendered of Orange County. And then Patty's going to go, no, 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 you're not. So I'm glad I'm not moving forward with that idea.
Yeah, well, not a lot of transgender people can afford to live in Orange County. Most of us are very poor. Transgender people have trouble getting jobs.
Yeah.
I lost so much of my potential in my young adult, when I should have been focused on school and career, because I have the brains for it. But I was so focused on my gender situation that I couldn't concentrate in college. And so I only went for a year. And there was so much that I lost out on in those years when I should have been exploring that, had I been able to have had that taken care of by the time I went to college, my life would have been completely different. And that happens to a lot of people. Either that, or they manage to get through that, and then they spend years, diving into their career or whatever they're doing to run away from whoever they are. A real good example of that, is Kristen Beck. I mean, you know, she became the ultra macho Navy SEAL, and then when she retired from the Navy, started her transition, and you know, it's made life extremely difficult for her. And there are many trans women that go through that. You know, they spend half of their lives running away from their gender identity, and most of the stories that you hear, basically all those years, these people were miserable.
Isn't it just sad? You know, we talk about this every show, but isn't it sad that it is now 2015 going into 2016, and we are now finally, and I don't know what frame of reference, you know, you've lived your life. I've known you now for a couple of years. So, you know, my toe is barely even touching the water. So my understanding and appreciation of all the things that you've gone through just is really minuscule compared to where, you know, your understanding of life is. But isn't it crazy in this world of 2015 where all of these magical things are happening, and yet we still seem so backwards on how we are able to accept and appreciate and value others?
Well, the only thing I'm going to say about that is things are happening quicker. Once the ball starts rolling, you know, we're getting a little bit of a snowball effect. I mean, who'd have thought 10 years ago that gay marriage would be legal in this country by the year 2015? I certainly wouldn't have. But that snowball got started rolling down the hill, and it gathered speed. And, you know, I'm hoping something similar for transgender people. But, you know, it's one of the things that when I started to become known and started meeting people, most of the people I met were gays and lesbians, and I was the first trans person any of them had ever met or talked to or spent any time with. And that was, you know, the reason for me opening up my life is because, you know, I'd like to see more support from the gay and lesbian community for the trans community. And it's not, you know, from people's lack of wanting to be supportive. It's their lack of awareness and understanding. And I think once, you know, people have that awareness and understanding and can kind of think about, you know, what their community was going through 20, 30 years ago, you know, that they can have a little bit more compassion, understanding, and, you know, get off their butts and do something to help.
Well, I think that, you know, this goes back to it's Patty Appreciation Night here on Transgender Tuesday on Rated G Radio. But I think that's one of the things that I just really appreciate about you is the fact that you do open yourself up, because, again, you're the first transgender person that I've had any type of conversation with but beyond a hello. And I value you in so many different ways that you don't even know, for just being who you are. And so for, you know, you taking time to be on the show and, you know, sharing your ideas and insights and opening yourself up to the world, I just think speaks volumes of it. But I think it's equally fantastic that we now have somebody who's so high profile and is saying, you know what, I've got to start living my life authentically, and that's, you know, Caitlyn Jenner. And I think that is huge. I think Laverne Cox is huge. I think all of these things that are going on are just, it's very exciting. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 years, but I think the momentum certainly is on the transgender side for sure.
Well, I think one of the other things that's going to come out of Kate's show is you're going to see some of the amazing trans allies that there are out there. You know, I remember I told you the last time we talked how surprised I was to one day get a tweet from Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips. She had seen my movie and she contacted me, and now we tweet back and forth a little bit. And she is a tremendous ally of the transgender community. And, you know, I think as the show goes on that there might even be some trans allies that might surprise people. At least I'm hoping so. But it's like the same thing that happened once the gays and lesbians started to come out. And there were people that supported them that were, you know, rather surprising. And, you know, like I said, you know, I say this over and over, and I'll keep saying it, awareness and understanding. So many things in our society have been made better once those two things happen. Because what holds people back, you know, for the most part, is fear of the unknown. When you don't understand something, when you don't know about something, it makes
so it's really easy to slur it or to, you know, make fun of it or do just, you know, terrible, nasty things because you don't. And then you meet somebody, you know, and you're like, but I like that person. And your world changes.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, so it's one of the reasons that I'm so thrilled about these shows. I mean, I was really, really hard on TLC with the whole Duggar fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that, and they had another show that they had on there that was about same-sex attraction Mormons in Salt Lake City. Thank God they only had a few episodes. They got so much negative publicity about that. You should have seen the comments on Facebook after they aired that. It was the most offensive thing that you could possibly imagine, you know, towards the LGBT community. And, you know, so I was pretty hard on TLC there for a while, but, you know, with Jazz, they have definitely redeemed themselves. So if they happen to put out another couple of really crappy shows, I'm not going to be too hard on them because I am just so, so proud of what they have done with this show. And I really hope people embrace it.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's, and I am not a fan of the Duggars. So, and we're not even going to go down that path, but I think TLC, like a lot of networks, goes into the promotion and production of a particular type of show really with good intentions. And who knows what's happened, you know, in the past or, you know, stupid things that people say in the present or whatever the case may be. But I don't think any TV network is going to go into a show thinking, I sure hope they don't say, you know, this word or that word, or I hope they don't associate with this group or that group, or I hope they don't. I really hope that, you know, that they want to have every show be successful. So I'm thrilled to see that, you know, we're getting a season or two out of this, and, you know, maybe it will spur something else or raise more awareness. So I think that's, you know, A+ for TLC. And between you and me, Patty, and the lamppost, I'm glad the Duggars are off the air.
Yeah, you and me both, and I've already said enough about that on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. We've got about 3 minutes left, and in that 3 minutes, I want to do a bunch of stuff with you. Number one, I want you to kind of remind us where you like to be seen and heard on social media. Let's start there.
Trucker Patty on Facebook and Trucker Patty on Twitter. Very, very easy.
And then I've got a couple of people saying, Garrett, I hear your dogs barking. And I'm like, those aren't my dogs. Those are Patty's dogs. So how are the kids?
Yeah, that's Gidget and Gizmo. They're just fine. Generally, I'm surprised they hadn't started barking sooner. Generally, if I get on the phone, it's one of those times that they tend to kick up their heels a little bit. But they're just doing wonderful.
Good. I like that. So do they have anything that is particularly or happy for them that takes place during the summertime? Do they run in the cut, freshly cut grass, or do they hide in the strawberry patches or anything like that?
They love running in the high grass. I make sure they're well protected with Frontline because they love getting out in that tall grass, and there are a lot of ticks around here. So, yeah. But they love getting out there, running around. It took Gizmo a while to warm up to Gidget, but once they finally got warmed up, they are just the best of buddies now.
Isn't it funny that, you know, because your dogs are so bonded to you, but, you know, it's like it takes them a little bit longer to, you know, kind of say, okay, you can be my best friend, and I'll let you sleep with me.
Yeah, well, Gizmo is 8 and Gidget is 8 months, so.
Yeah. A little bit of that. Well, Patty, it's a pleasure. I can't wait for you to come back next month, and we'll, you know, continue the dialogue. And if there's anything new that you want to talk about in the meantime, let me know, and we'll try to sneak you in someplace. But it's just always a pleasure to have you on. I just value you. I'm so grateful that I can call you my friend and that you come on the show and talk about transgender topics once a month.
Well, it's always a pleasure for me, Garrett. I love doing your show, and I just adore you. So, you know, a little Garrett appreciation as well.
Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Patty, you have a great night. Again, thanks for being on the show tonight. We'll talk soon. You have fun time out in the garden. We'll hopefully get a late August garden update from you soon as well. So, Patty, thanks again for being on the show. And everybody, I just want to give you a quick reminder that tomorrow night, Lisa Peeney, she's our psychic of the week. She's going to be on the show at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 Eastern. It's a little earlier in the night for you. And then, so here's the deal. Whenever I've got a psychic on, the phone lines open up 15 minutes before the show starts. If you want to call and ask a question, I'm telling you that if you call in at a quarter till, so tomorrow, 3:45 Pacific time, you can get in the call queue and we'll get your call screened, and then you can answer, you know, get your question answered tomorrow night. I tell you that because you're my normal listening audience that listens, you know, every night of the week. When we have our psychics on, we advertise the show on the spirituality segment of Blog Talk Radio, and it opens it up to a whole different audience of listeners. Not that they don't listen for other nights of the week, they do, but we get probably, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds more callers and listeners on the nights we have psychics on. So I always want to tell you, if you want to listen and get your call answered, your friend Garrett here is telling you that if you call in at 15 minutes before, just do that. You'll get your, you know, call in the queue. I'll come out and get your name and probably your birthday or something like that. And that's it. You can ask Lisa your question. Thursday, again, Mark Dip DePina. He's our Sydney surfer. He's going to be reciting poetry. Friday is going to be Travis Miller on the Friday Night Dance Party. And this is my song, Gay Wedding. It's been number one in the UK this summer. And I would love it to be number one here as well. So call your favorite radio stations around the country. Ask it, demand it, and you know, go buy it too if you want. It's on iTunes. Help an indie artist out. That's me. We'll see you live tomorrow night at 4 o'clock. Here's Gay Wedding. Get out of your chairs and dance.
Mister, look what we've done. Hey, Mister, Mister, second to no one. Hey, Mister, Mister, our time has come. Hey, Mister, Mister, marry your true love. Hey, Mister, Mister, hot bun. If I not say to start again, yes, sir. For a gay wedding, it's a nice day to start again. Hey, sister, sister, now you have the right. Hey, sister, sister, she can be your wife. Hey, sister, sister, true love. Hey, sister, sister, go on, take her hand. Hey, sister, sister, true love. It's a nice day to start again. It's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Second to no one. We've been together so long. Vows made today are so strong. No matter the state that you're from, it's a nice day to start again. Come on, it's a nice day for a gay wedding. It's a nice day to start again. Our hearts are bright with this love. Our hearts are light with this love. And you crave at night for this love. And you give your all for this love.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.